Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
This week on Witness History. In 1970, Gary Gygax was fired. And that event, believe it or not, changed the gaming industry forever. He went on to create Dungeons & Dragons. In the 50 years since its release, the tabletop roleplay game has generated billions of dollars in sales and now boasts more than 50 million players worldwide. Search and subscribe to Witness History wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
So this is the piano?
I don't know.
God, still covered in dust.
This is a string. They are all rouillé.
Yeah, they're all rusty.
Yeah. I have to change everything.
Oh, so, okay, so this is pretty bad condition, really.
Yeah.
9 years ago, I went to Gaza to listen to a piano. At first, that was excruciating.
Everything is dead.
It was Gaza's only grand piano, a black Yamaha. When we swept all the dust off, it gleamed. It had been rediscovered after years of neglect in the dark, echoing ruins of a disused theatre hit by a missile in the 2014 war with Israel. Claire Bertrand, a young French piano tuner, spent 10 days bringing it back to life. Replacing the strings, revoicing the hammers, and then as Beethoven fills the wedding hall, you can see the pride and enchantment on every face of the families and friends of the music school. The Gaza branch, opened only 7 years before, of the Palestinian Music School, the Edward Said National Conservatory of Music. Its star piano pupils were the first to play the grand at a celebratory concert. And teachers such as Khamis Abu Shaban hoped the discovery and restoration of the instrument would help music flourish in Gaza, despite repeated cycles of destruction in wars with Israel, despite hostility to public performances from the territory's Islamist rulers, Hamas.
You cannot go and have a concert of your own. You cannot sell tickets. The eyes will be on you. I don't speak about the people, the normal people. I'm speaking about the government itself.
In the years since then, the school, with its 200 students and an orchestra combining Western classical instruments and traditional Arabic ones, went from strength to strength until, a year ago, Hamas attacked Israeli civilians, including those attending a music festival, and the Israeli military responded. I worried, of course, about the students and teachers I'd met. At first, communicating with Gaza was very hard. But this summer, on the conservatory's Facebook page, I was amazed to see a video of children standing on pale, powdery sand under a white canvas awning, learning to sing. The wolf is coming to eat us up. The wolf is coming to eat us up. What should we do? The song asks. It's about conquering fear. The teacher from the conservatory is Ahmed Abu Amsha, a guitarist in his 30s. He has a black beard and glasses, a flowery shirt, denim shorts, and a broad smile.
Hello, Tim, do you hear me now?
You're listening to Assignment on the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Tim Hewell, asking why they're still singing in Gaza and what's happened to their iconic grand piano. I can hear you, yes.
Electric problems. Everything here in Khmeris in solar panels. There is no electric. Hello. I'm right now far away from my tent. Every time I want to make a good connection, I have to walk and feed 3 kilos.
You have to walk 3 kilometers?
Yeah. To the cafe that have the internet. I'm going to send you a picture right now.
It shows makeshift shelters as far as the eye can see under what looks like a sweltering blue sky, right by a Mediterranean beach. This is Al-Mawasi, an area that Israel has designated as a safe zone for civilians, and perhaps as many as 1.5 million people are camped out there. They include Ahmed, his wife and 5 sons in their rudimentary tent.
I made it with my own hands. Wood and carpets. And when we going to sleep, we stick with each other because the place is very small.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Ahmed teaches 5 days a week in another small space alongside. Basically, I can't believe, Ahmed, that you're making music in these conditions.
You know what? I'm going to tell you the whole story. You know, all the things was good in Gaza. We was eating good. We was living good.
Good? Gaza's a tiny, densely populated sliver of land. Israel, Egypt and its own Hamas authorities all imposed various restrictions on people leaving even before this war. But Ahmed was still able to build a career as a guitarist, singer, composer and music arranger.
Yeah, you know, I have many songs on YouTube.
This is him showing off his fancy fretwork on Palestine TV.
I have a lot of work, you know. I have 2 homes, a big studio, many guitars, I have many keyboards.
Or rather, he had, until the Israeli army ordered him and everyone else in northern Gaza to move south a year ago.
At 3 o'clock in the morning, they call us, and all my family, my father and my mother and my brothers, ran away with my kids with no shoes. I don't take anything from my house. After we go like 1 kilometer, the missiles destroy all the place that we live.
Everyone's first priority, of course, was the safety of their families. But a few months into the war, amid the chaos of displacement after displacement, Khamis Abu Shaban and other conservatory staff began to try to locate fellow teachers and their students.
We found out that, unfortunately, one was killed along with all of her family. She was one great talented violinist, still young, but on the way.
14-year-old Rubna Alian died along with 45 relatives when their home was hit by a missile on November the 21st last year. Israel says it only bombs military targets. But all other students and teachers were still alive, and many, both teachers and students, wanted to work, not regular teaching.
But telling those children about the basics of music, because life goes on. Music is built inside of us. Even with all this death that's around us, people are in need of anything that can make them not happy. No one will be happy in this period, but something that can make those people smile to be able to continue with life.
But where could they work? Early in the war, Gazans couldn't safely reach the conservatory. It was based in a building belonging to the Palestine Red Crescent, part of its effort to keep a low profile in the face of Hamas's hostility to any public music making other than weddings. But close to that building, also used by ambulances, was Al-Quds Hospital. And that was heavily bombed by Israel, which said it was used by Hamas fighters. It was only after 2 or 3 months that Khamis could safely make it to the school.
And I saw the catastrophe, darkness inside. More than half of the conservatory was burned, and parts of it was bombed by artillery. All the instruments broken, thrown outside. You start seeing the cases of instruments as soon as you start getting closer to the conservatory from the streets. Not a single instrument is unharmed, not a single one.
Khamis remembered them all being played in the orchestra.
We have more than 400 instruments, starting from the oriental instruments, which is oud, qanun, nay, which is the Arabic flute, moving to Western instruments, violins. We had more than 50, completely smashed. Cellos, more than 40, completely smashed. Flutes, also 30 or 40, completely smashed.
How did you feel at that moment?
Destroyed. Destroyed, completely destroyed. I have been working in the conservatory for 13 years. Most of those instruments I played on, I had a personal relationship with this instrument. So how would that make me feel? Destroyed, it's a small word for what I have seen.
So what could they teach with now? Many privately owned instruments had also been destroyed or lost.
After my house and studio got demolished by the airstrikes, I was so traumatized. I stayed in bed for more than a week. I just couldn't cope with having lost everything.
That's another guitarist, Fuad Khader. Luckily, he owned a second flat. But he started returning every day to his old, flattened home.
I started digging in the rubble. I dug for 3 days, 12 hours a day, trying to find anything I could keep. We just dug with our bare hands. Soon, they were bleeding. Then, I found a keyboard case. I bought that keyboard just a month before. It was really expensive. I sold my wife's gold, her jewels, to afford it. I was so excited. I thought the keyboard might still be intact inside the case. It was there, but in really bad shape. It took a week to repair. But then, a week after that, the Israeli ground invasion began. The house I'd moved to got burned down. So then, I lost the keyboard forever.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Soon, though, he was playing again on a borrowed keyboard, accompanying a children's choir he formed in Jabalia refugee camp. In a slick video made this summer, they're performing outside a shattered building, smartly dressed in black, with identical scarves in Palestinian national colours. Tell me exactly how you started to do it, because you had to, like, go and talk to parents, but didn't the parents say, who needs music when we haven't got any food, we haven't got anywhere to live?
That's just what happened. They asked, people are dying, and you want to teach kids to sing? But I reached out to 25 shelters run by the UN. I picked out kids who were willing to take part, kids with a talent for music, and I started teaching them. I just told their parents, everyone has to do something. I am a musician. This is my job.
But I can't even understand physically when you say you reached out to 25, you know, institutions. I mean, how? Because the phone doesn't work. Did you just, like, walk from place to place?
Yes, yes, exactly. No communications and no transport. So I walked. Yeah, it was tough. I've lost a lot of weight, 20 kilos.
He looks cool with his perfectly parted, slicked back hair, but seriously thin. But despite all his efforts, he didn't get all the children he wanted.
نفذنا البرنامج الجوقة في شهر أربعة.
We started the choir in April. It was Ramadan. And the people were really hungry. And we couldn't find any boys. And eventually, I realized some were at the drop zones, where food was being airdropped. And others were out selling things like water and bread to earn money for their families. So we ended up with a 100% female choir. No boys at all.
But sometimes it's teachers who are missing.
Good evening, Tim.
Ahmed Abu Amsha, who's been keeping an audio diary for me.
You know, the teachers today, they are absent because they are ill and my kids are ill. There is something in the air make us ill, like a corona. Right now I'm going to the hospital. I'll try to ask the doctors to help me because even in the hospitals, there is no medicine. They can give you 2 or 1 paracetamol only. Oh, God, help us.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Was ist noch besser als ein guter Plan? Die Möglichkeit, ihn zu ändern. Mit integrierter KI bietet Workday kontinuierliche Innovationen, die Ihnen helfen, agil zu bleiben, egal was passiert. Workday, the finance and HR system for a changing world.
This week on Witness History, in 1970, Gary Gygax was fired. And that event, believe it or not, changed the gaming industry forever. He went on to create Dungeons & Dragons. In the 50 years since its release, the tabletop roleplay game has generated billions of dollars in sales and now boasts more than 50 million players worldwide. Search and subscribe to Witness History wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
You're listening to Assignment, Singing in Gaza, with me, Tim Huell.
انت ليت شوي في الدو نغني صول صول 1 2 3 go صول صول فا صول فا مي ري دو.
Soon Ahmed's back at work, but he's often battling exhaustion.
Hi Tim, how are you? This is the sound at the night. We can't sleep from the sound. There is two planes like F-16 and the other, we call it Zenana, like a spying plane.
Okay. Let's go far away without bombing, thanks God.
Another night, they're not so lucky.
Good morning, Tim, how are you? You know, last night was miserable and horrible sound. All the people in Khan Yunis wake up. Goes a big explosions,
like the land moves under our feet.
Gaza's civil defense agency says an Israeli attack near the southern city of Khan Yunis has killed 40 people and wounded dozens. The strike hit Al-Mawasi, which was designated a safe zone by the Israeli military early in the war. Israel said it was targeting a Hamas command center.
After the sun is rise, I go right there and there is 4 big holes, people under the sand. They try to pick them from the sand with hands. I go back to my tent crying, really. It's in Gaza, life, it's nothing. Oh my God, the scene was miserable.
But Ahmed's music camp goes on.
The families come to me and they told me, you change our kids. They are getting better. They are singing. They are laughing. They are each day waiting for the class. They are coming early to the class. When they see me, they make hugs and they smile. You know, my wife told me that I think you are a father of many kids here. They think you are their father.
But that's a tough role to play.
You know, there is some feelings
You can't describe it with words. We are singing a song and suddenly there's a big explosion that make us silent and look to each other. And I said, don't worry. Let's continue. Let's get... And you know, oh my God. If the kids see me afraid, if they see this in my eyes, so I have to be strong in front of them. And in some moments, they forget they are in war. But when they go, I'm not strong. Like, I'm sucking the bad energy from the kids. And I try to sleep. I it's a horrible feeling. Like you are trying to sleep and you're thinking of this kid, how he's come from North Gaza to West Gaza, and he see dead bodies in the streets, and his father is dead, and his sister, and his uncle, and his, you know, each one tell his story. Like, I try to heal them.
Hard for experienced teachers like Ahmed. Harder still, perhaps, for students who've only started teaching during the war.
Hello?
Hello? Is that Sama?
Yes, Sama.
Very nice to hear you. I want to ask, you're quite young.
Yes, 16 years. At the beginning, I volunteered to teach the children how to play the violin.
Sama's teaching in schools run by the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA. Some of those schools have been targeted by Israel, which says Hamas fighters operate from them. But Sama's not deterred.
Day by day, she becomes better and confident, and really I'm proud of her.
This is Sama's mother, Lamis.
She's struggling a lot when she goes to schools because no transports to go. She go with donkeys. So Sama really is brave.
But not as brave as one of her pupils, aged 14, the victim of an airstrike. There's a picture now that I think became quite famous of you teaching a boy who has no hand.
Yes, his name is Muhammad Abu Ida. Muhammad Abu Ida was playing oud before his hand cut. After, I want Muhammad not to stop his dream. So I rolled the scarf around his hand and he played violin.
So you wrapped a scarf, you tied the bow of the violin to his arm where he didn't have a hand so that he could play.
Yes. We rolled a special tie for him to control with the bow.
And you said he played the oud before. Now, because he only has one hand, is it easier for him to play the violin?
Yes, the oud needs two hands.
Part of why I love Gaza, it's always surviving.
Guitarist Khamis Abu Shaban.
We always look for alternatives for everything because we love life. From the midst of death, we create life.
This is his colleague, Osama Jajou, playing a nai, a Palestinian flute, fashioned out of a plastic pipe, because the conservatory's nais are all lost.
We are a surviving people, we are a surviving country.
It's not surprising, though, that some of the few who can seek refuge abroad. Khamis took his family to Egypt, paying tens of thousands of dollars to agents for permission for them all to cross the border. Now he's won an artistic residency in France. Meanwhile, Sarah Akel, the conservatory pupil who was first to play the restored piano back in 2015, moved abroad several years ago. She now studies music in Berlin, where she's just performed in a benefit concert for Gaza. And when, if, the war ends, do you imagine yourself going back?
It's really not as easy as the war ending. I think a lot of things have to change about how Palestinians view themselves. Towards the end of my time there, I just wished that we had the resources and the freedom to do concerts and learn different things. I don't think people had the time to think about musical education. It's only now that it's a form of kind of survival and saying that we are here.
You know, nobody would want this, but nevertheless, it almost feels as though more children are being touched by music since the war began almost than were before.
Yeah, it's bittersweet in a way. And I feel like whenever I look back, I always think like, oh, we had such potential.
Alhamdulillah.
Now, amid all the suffering, more of that potential is being revealed. You're listening to 17-year-old Ibrahim Hamdan. He'd never played the guitar or had any music lessons until he joined Ahmed's sessions a few months ago.
Only he was singing to his friend.
Never in school?
No, a hiding talent.
A hidden talent?
A hidden talent, yeah. I catch it. He is saying if the war ended, he will continue and he will try to learn more about music.
What do you think about that, Ahmed? That's quite good.
Yeah, you know, all the students ask me one question. Mr. Ahmed, if the war is finished, will we continue? I told him, yes, I will do my best to see someone help us to continue these lessons. After the war, I have mission here to do.
Ahmed's dream is to set up a new music centre that will offer both lessons and, crucially, music therapy.
You know, the facilities and the buildings, maybe after finish the war, it will take 1 year, 2 years to rebuild. But the people and the kids, they need 10 years to heal.
And the piano that became a symbol of Gaza's musical aspirations, can that be restored again?
The only one instrument that I saw standing was the grand piano. Honestly, I smiled when I saw it. I smiled and I laughed.
Khamis Abu Shaban, the only teacher who's been back to the conservatory. When he lifted the lid, he saw it wasn't completely intact.
They cut some of the strings. They destroyed some of the hammers of the piano.
You're not saying that soldiers, Israelis, came in and actually cut strings, are you?
I'm saying this absolutely positive because I'm familiar with how an instrument can be damaged. A hammer cannot be broken just with, for example, shockwave. No, someone has opened it and started sabotaging the inside of it.
If that's true, it's hard to know why anyone, whoever it was, would do that. But Hamis's joy was undiminished.
I started talking to the piano. You are the only survivor of all the instruments. You don't want to die. You managed to survive the first war and second war and third war. And then this war that didn't keep anything, I really laughed.
So that was the conversation you had?
Yes. Now I see him still standing in front of me, telling me that I'm not the one to be dead. Still, it's too early for me. I'm still here for you and I will stay.
Thanks for listening. Assignment was produced and presented by me, Tim Hewell, with sound mixing by Rod Farker. The production coordinator was Gemma Ashman and the editor, Penny Murphy.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
This week on Witness History. In 1970, Gary Gygax was fired. And that event, believe it or not, changed the gaming industry forever. He went on to create Dungeons & Dragons. In the 50 years since its release, the tabletop roleplay game has generated billions of dollars in sales and now boasts more than 50 million players worldwide. Search and subscribe to Witness History wherever you get your BBC podcasts.